I think that is because Tony Ferguson was in a situation where he lost the interim title. It was taken from him all because he tripped over some damn cable wires working for the UFC. So if you want to talk about circumstances of getting stripped, that was pretty rough. Now, he was interim champion. He wasn't the champion. And there is a difference there. The one thing I would say, though, is if you're going to talk about, well, what is the difference between the two? Let's just say under the parameters they're working, they're both working under terrible parameters, right? Terrible circumstances. Understood. But Tony is going forth. He is raising his hand and saying he'll fight. Khabib is out here saying that this is unprofessional, that this is unacceptable, and that he just wants a location of where to fight because he has a lot to deal with. Here's Khabib talking to Brett Okamoto earlier in the week.
This is not regular fight. This is like, how is like 16 days before fight and I don't know location. What is this? This is not professional. This is not like, even like Tony Ferguson, like a couple days ago, he talked, hey, if I don't have location, I'm not going to sign contract. He said this. This is not my word. But nobody pay attention on this. You know, I don't understand. Like, hey, give me location. I have to come. I have to fly. I have to jet lag, you know, like different climate. I have to cut weight. I have to focus. I have to finish my training camp. Like too many stuff, too much. Okay, like right now, if they give me location, if I can come out from Russia and I can go to in any countries like US, Abu Dhabi, doesn't matter. I'm going to fight 100%. 100% I'm going to fight.
So Khabib's upset. And understandably so. But here's the thing that's tough. If you're a fan of Nurmagomedov, Tony was dealing with all this stuff too. You know, that I do think that has to be part of the story. Is that, yeah, I wouldn't like the idea of somebody's title getting stripped because we're in the middle of a pandemic and this guy thought it a priority to go home to Russia. But these guys were under the agreement. Like, you know, it could have been one of those things where, you know, Khabib was in the situation where he's training and he's frustrated and all that stuff. But you don't think Tony was dealing with that stuff as well? And so I just think that if you're going to go back to some of the reasons we've seen guys get stripped, and namely one of the participants that's in this fight, if you're going to give me what's a more legit reason to strip a guy, one is basically flying off to another country, refusing to do the fight, or a guy tripping and tearing his knee while he's working for the company. I mean, you know, in most people's field of business, that's workman's comp. That's not a grounds to be demoted, which is basically what happened to Tony Ferguson when he tore up his knee. So I think there's a case to be made for Khabib to be stripped. But here's the problem with doing it, is that ultimately, if you do strip Nurmagomedov, that you are going to be in a situation where people are going to look upon Tony as a paper champion again. You know, he's going to win the interim championship and against Justin Gaethje, if he beats Justin Gaethje. And people are going to look at that and say that's kind of a Fugazi belt. It doesn't really mean much. You know, like I'm seeing this week with the John Jones news and John Jones getting arrested for DWI and pleading guilty and all that stuff. And people are saying, well, he should be, you know, there should be an interim title. I'm like, well, why? You know, John's not going away for a long time. Why? Because he got in trouble. You feel like you're worthy of getting a championship shot? I mean, okay. I mean, Thiago Santos and Dominic Reyes, by all means, fight for a championship. But I think in the eyes of the fans, we've seen with Daniel Cormier, unless you beat the man, it's tough for people to think of you as the man. So I don't know what stripping Khabib really does for Tony. I think he has an argument for them to take the title from Khabib. I really do. But I just don't. I think in the end, if he ends up himself with a belt after this, what does it do for Tony Ferguson? It's the second interim title, and both of them are under not great circumstances. But I understand his frustration. Like this Nurmagomedov, this was the rap on him before the Conor thing. Like, look, Nurmagomedov, a lot of people thought was the best lightweight in the world for a long time, but his availability was certainly in question. The weight issues, the injury issues, all of this type of stuff were things that people had to be worried about with Khabib and what they were dealing with him as a champion. you know, it's not until recently that he's had this resurgence and looked upon as one of the stars of UFC, beating Conor McGregor the way he did in a highly publicized fight will do that for you. But I get it. I get it from Tony Ferguson. I get the frustration that he's going with these two, because this is the fifth time this is supposed to happen. And really, how could you, other than the fact that if they don't strip Khabib and he does have to fight for, if he does end up having to fight him to win the championship, you got to think at some point, the only thing that's going to keep this from happening is, you know, if he loses to Justin Gaethje, or if he ends up losing to Conor McGregor or something like that. But if he continues on top, eventually they're going to get back to each other. This path is inevitable. It's going to cross again. And then what? And then, you know, does it help business that, again, this is the last unicorn of all fights? Or are people going to get sick of the dog and pony show, where you swear to God that you're going to get this this great show, and all of a sudden it's taken away from you? Because it has now been a handful of times. And that's wildly frustrating if you're a UFC fan dealing with all this stuff. From Nurmagomedov's standpoint of being frustrated with the UFC's professionalism, I get it. You know, this is one of those things where the person to mostly blame here is Dana. I don't want to hose down Khabib because he's scared to fight Tony. I don't think he's scared to fight Tony, but he is the A side here. You know, he is the guy that makes it go. And bet your ass if Floyd Mayweather was taking somebody on in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, he didn't know where the fight was, I mean, it wouldn't even be a question that that the fight would be postponed or be on Floyd Mayweather's terms. And, you know, Nurmagomedov's not Floyd Mayweather, but if you were going to put an apples to apples, I mean, he probably is the Canelo. He is probably top three right now of fame in the UFC. And so with that being the case, you get it. You get it. I know there's people that don't like that, and they think that these guys always say anytime, any place, anywhere, but they don't have a where. Like, that's the, you know, that is the thing that's really the hardest part. If you're Nurmagomedov, it's like, well, where is the fight going to be? Does anybody know? Because you remember last week I was hosing down the idea that it was going to be in Florida. I said, no effing way. You know, there's been local cards down here. They canceled like four of them. They were able to have one card in Jacksonville under like some real strict rules. But yeah, there were cards at the Gulfstream that was canceled, Hard Rock that was canceled, Mikosuke that were canceled on 24 hours notice. You know, guys had already cut weight and were supposed to fight at the Mikosuke, and they canceled the fights. So I just thought, no way. But at this point, I can't see the fight being international. So it's got to be somewhere. The only thing, this was the one idea that I thought made sense. If it was possible, but I don't think it really involves Ferguson, I guess, although it could. If they ended up going to Colby versus Woodley, or an Usman versus Masvidal, the easiest way to do this, if you really want to have a card, if you really wanted to have a card that has the least amount of contamination, the easiest chess pieces to move, I think, this is just me throwing it out there, I do believe that American Top Team has a full-size ring, or has a full-size cage, so you could theoretically do it at that gym. It is a monstrosity, so they could fit all the television equipment they need in there, I think, to make do and do a broadcast. You know, look, man, I've gone to warehouses here. They throw up a cage. It's not like you need the craziest setup in the world. I'm just trying to make it easier for everybody. You know, places where Masvidal goes anyway because he's training. Usman is literally down the block. If they were to make that happen for a Tony Ferguson fight, or for a guy who's trading in Big Bear, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. You know, probably them going to some reservation somewhere that maybe gets to work outside the guidelines of the United States of America, but I don't know, man. There's for me, I'm hoping that the answer would have just been, let's postpone the thing. It seems like Tony's still raising his hand and he's willing to go and say, I'm ready to go. That's awesome, man. That's my son. He's popping into the garage just saying what's up to everybody. He's just built himself a gorilla. So, I just think that from the standpoint for Tony is, you're fighting Justin Gaethje. Cool. I don't know what it does for you, though, man. Like, I think for because here's the thing. Nobody, it's not to take anything away from Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje is a tremendous fighter. He's all violence all the time. He's had a really nice bounce back after what people probably thought was maybe his game peaking when he first got into the UFC, where, you know, he won a fight by attrition after looking like he was going to lose, and then started getting his ass kicked by a lot of guys who just looked a little bit more talented than him. And now it's really swung again where he's become that killer. I don't feel like Tony needs to gain any lightweight credibility from anybody. He's already beaten the who's who. With Gaethje, I thought the perfect place for him to probably go was a Conor McGregor fight. One, I think it'll up the star power of Gaethje. Two, I think if Conor beats him, I think it just adds to his credibility. It's not the most, I don't think he's the highest rated, one of the highest rated contenders that he could beat. You know, I think Poirier is better than him. But I get it. You don't want to redo the Poirier thing because you smashed him when he was at 145 pounds a decade ago. Well, not a decade ago, but 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever it was. From Conor's standpoint, I think beating Gaethje would be a good feather in the cap because he is a top contender, and people would look at it upon Conor actually earning his way back to the title rather than being spoon-fed a guy like Donald Cerrone, who I think is who I don't even have to tell you is a legend. He's absolutely amazing. But, you know, winning a fight like that would mean a lot for Conor to show fans, okay, he actually deserves to fight for the championship. Tony doesn't need that. Tony doesn't need to prove that he's worthy of a title shot against Nurmagomedov. He doesn't, you know, hell, he might be champion already if his knee never got torn up. He might be champion. And he came back, what? Did he come back on six months' notice to beat Anthony Pettis? He's will is second to none in this sport. It's unbelievable. I don't think he needs a Justin Gaethje fight to prove anything, but if he wants to be the Hulk Hogan, cup his hand to his ear to do this for all the nurses and doctors and give the people entertainment in a storm of crap where we got no sports and nothing to watch. Yeah, listen, I think it'll help him. I definitely don't think it hurts him from a fan perspective, but he could lose the fight. He could lose to Justin Gaethje, and I know that's the risk these guys always take when they go in there. But if he loses this fight, he is the boogeyman opponent I don't feel like anybody wants to face, and I don't feel like is going to get a shot again, because I feel like Nurmagomedov will sit back and laugh and hold on to his gold and never take him on again. And for Conor, I don't think that matchup against Tony will be one that he's going to feel like he needs. If anything, I think that'll put him back, make Gaethje look better. And so if Conor beats Gaethje, then it makes the Nurmagomedov fight him seem even more legit to fight Nurmagomedov for the belt. So I just look, man, I hope Tony's going to get paid handsomely for this. I hope they all get paid handsomely for this, but I hope that the reward is certainly worth the risk and all of the headaches that he had to deal with, especially Nurmagomedov pulling out of this fight yet again. We're back with more on Fighter's Fury after this. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, everybody. It is Fighter's Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you. There was some crazy news this week with Billy Joe Saunders, where the WBO super middleweight champion of the world, Billy Joe Saunders, he was getting set to fight Canelo Alvarez probably very soon. He got suspended by the British Boxing Board. They took his license away because of a video that he put up where he was basically... It was like a give advice on how to hit your woman during a quarantine of COVID-19. And they came in swiftly and they said, F that, sir, get the hell out of here with that kind of endorsement of things to say. So they took his license away from his remarks on social media. And it was one of those things where he's, you know, this is a guy who's been in trouble a bunch. You know, he got into trouble for offering drugs to a woman if she performed an act to one of his buddies. You know, he's been a guy who has tested positive and been suspended for using PEDs. And, you know, Billy Joe Saunders is a guy who, you know, I think probably his real prime performance where everybody was like, whoa, this guy could be something, was against David Lemieux. That performance was a while ago. It's saying something. So, you know, this guy continues to go down the path of being a complete jackass, you know, if we may. And, you know, I think a lot of people probably don't get the idea of it because, you know, he's a British star and, you know, hung with Tyson Fury a lot. But yeah, just very disappointing to see stuff like this, because it's not like, you know, this is a sport that has had its share of domestic violence around its fighters in the past. So you have a guy actively going out there joking about it, endorsing it, making videos about it. It just doesn't play, man. Especially with the it's bad enough that you do it, but you do it in the situation that we're in right now. Just awful. And Chris Eubank Jr. is one of those guys where he's hosing him down. He goes, "So Billy Joe Saunders is a woman beating, COVID-19 hoaxing, drug abusing, police impersonating moron. Oh yeah, paid a vulnerable woman to punch an innocent man in the face as well. How many chances is this idiot going to get before we take his license away for a good amount of time? As fighters at the top, we have kids looking up to us, copying what we do inside and outside the ring, and having Billy Joe Saunders represent boxing is an injustice to all women suffering in abusive relationships and to kids who learn that from abusers." It's rough, man. Now, his Billy Joe would go on and he would reply to Chris Eubank by, you know, sending a message of sending a screenshot of him beating him in a fight. But, you know, it's tough to argue. I mean, like, look, we're not talking about the results of you as a boxer. I think this is the thing that's always funny, is like, whenever professional athletes or fighters get in trouble, they think their response is, but the results erase what I did. And we talked a little bit about this with John Jones last week, is where he is one of the rare guys where a lot of what he has done outside the cage has not affected his performance inside the cage, that his greatness is still pretty unparalleled, despite taking every wrong turn personally. And with Billy Joe Saunders, it's not the same case. Like, this has not been a guy who's looked like a world beater for a while now. And now you put on top of it all this jackassery that he's doing outside of the ring. It's just wholly disappointing. Some other news from across the pond: Anthony Joshua versus Kubrat Pulev was officially postponed. Not surprising. They were. I think it was June 20th. They were scheduled to do that for Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn, you've had to twist his arm a little bit. He's been, I would say, the closest thing to Dana White as far as this coronavirus pandemic is concerned with scheduling his fights. He's really tried to think every which way to try and keep boxing going. But this is not this is not surprising. This is what it is. And I think people are hoping that a lot of this stuff gets cleared up. But we don't know, man. Like, this has been a week where we've had people in the NBA talk about they think the season's done. We've had Kirk Herbstreit come out recently and say that he thinks there's not going to be a football season next season. So, you know, do with that what you will. All it means for right now is we're in a situation where it's a lot of stuff up in the air. I told you the thing that scares me about boxing is I'm trying to find on this where the date is. Where is the time where it could turn around? Because with football, we know when football is going to start. With basketball, we kind of have the idea that, you know, this stuff probably has to be wrapped up by the time the NFL gets going. Maybe that means a delayed start to next season. The rumors around baseball are July 4th opening day, maybe 100 game season instead of 162. But man, with boxing and then with UFC, we've talked to up and down about UFC 249. We don't really talk about any other card. I don't know what the situation with that's going to be. But with boxing, man, boxing just doesn't have that date where we're looking at and saying that is where things can get back to where it's supposed to be. We thought maybe that was going to be in July with Fury Wilder 3. That got postponed last week. Now we have Joshua. His fight is put on hold. You know, you start looking around, you scrounge around, you're like, man, is this going to be one of those things where like Canelo Triple G in September is going to be the big thing where we all return? Because boxing is also interesting in that it has waves. Typically, like, August isn't a month where they do a lot of business. Everybody kind of stays off. A lot of people on vacation. It's not a very big business month. I remember my family, we used to shut the doors at August. We had a furniture store, Nielsen's Furniture in Deerfield Beach, for decades. And my grandfather would always close in August. He said, F it. You know, we don't do business anyway. Everybody can kind of recharge their batteries. It's almost a very European model where they just take all this time off. My grandfather would get up every single day, you know, put the cookies out, make the coffees for his customers. and you know, would do that 6 days a week. Didn't work on Sundays, and then on August shut it on down just because business wasn't good. There's no point. Nobody was here in Florida. Everybody was either out of town or just wasn't in the mood to shop. All that type of stuff. So. Boxing is similar in that regard. I know it took a weird turn there, but boxing is similar in that regard where it, you know, it usually goes in waves. Usually it's like Cinco de Mayo to July, and then we'll kind of take August off, and then we'll resume back at Mexican Independence Weekend for a Canelo fight again. It's kind of like the seasons of Canelo. It's like May to July, and then September to December. With maybe a couple things sprinkled in there in the early winter, going like a February fight, something like that. Usually a St. Patrick's Day fight. And I'm talking about major pay-per-views. Obviously, you know, with the way things are with the streaming platform, I mean, you were getting a boxing card damn near every week. That was interesting. Wanted to give a quick shout out locally to Aaron Aponte, the Alien King. He turned professional this week. He's a friend of the show. We interviewed him. Want to say in September. And Aaron was supposed to go fight in Tokyo for the Olympics. He had a lot of national amateur accolades, but obviously the Olympics are postponed. And that is a very fragile thing when it comes to young fighters, the time of the Olympics, why certain guys get to be on the Olympics. And it's a bit of a lost opportunity because I would say more so now than maybe over the last 10 years, they're really marketing those people of, this guy was an Olympic gold medalist. This guy was an Olympian. Shakur Stevenson and Clarissa Shields really come to mind as two Olympians who everybody really looks top rank really built around and Showtime built around. So it is a lost opportunity, but I think it's the best you make of an opportunity. You know, there's a guy we've interviewed a couple times, Xander Zayas, who didn't match up with the Olympics, didn't line up with the Olympics age wise. So just went straight to the pros. So Aaron is, you know, 18 years old. Seen him spar a couple times. Dude's an absolute beast. He's got a good manager, I think, in Peter Kahn, who's good at guiding these young fighters. So congratulations to him. Really good kid, and look forward to speaking with him down the road. But big congratulations. Hialeah's own. Trains right there at the KO Fitness Gym in Hialeah. Great family around him that's very involved with his boxing career, as a lot of these young fighters are. So all the best to him, man. Just wanted to give him a shout out and wish him the best in these troubling times. Before we get out of here, if I could give you some recommended viewing. So we were talking about the lead up to UFC 249, some people throwing their hat in the ring, and it kind of cranked up again with Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman. It was weird, man. You know, they're both saying, I am getting a little tired of, because I'm getting a little tired of the back and forth between them from the standpoint of, I just want them to fight already. Because I this is the funny thing. I called this back when, you guys remember, I said when, and remember, we got to interview them both at Super Bowl Radio Row when we interviewed Jorge the day before of the scuffle, and we interviewed Kamaru Usman literally 10 minutes after the scuffle happened between the two of them. But I told you guys, I thought that Jorge, as much as he and his management talked about the counter fight, I know everybody wants the counter fight. I know everybody does. But he didn't have any reason for wanting to fight Conor other than money. And I want all fighters to get paid well, but making money is not the number one motivation of me wanting to watch a fight. I don't want to watch a fight because these guys are getting paid oodles of money. I get it. A lot of the times we dictate, you know, a conversation around what these guys' payday is going to be and what how much dough they're going to make. They all should be making a ton more, trust me, especially in the UFC. But the juicier fights are the ones that have the great backstory. And Usman and Jorge had just done a better job of selling fighting each other than Jorge has of fighting Conor, or Kamaru has of wanting to fight Leon Edwards, which made no sense. I remember talking to him before his fight with Colby, and he's like, yeah, I don't think George is deserving. I think we should fight Leon Edwards. I'm like, you do? Like, really? Like, that's what we're going to do? You're going to undercut him like that? But Masvidal, I mean, he dropped this YouTube video this week, and I mean, it is a work of art. I mean, they go back to the archives on Kamaru Usman of him praising Masvidal and ripping Masvidal, him calling himself Martin, calling himself Kamaru Usman, you know, from, you know, some of his stuff where You know, he had the grab in the fence controversies on the Ultimate Fighter show, all that type of stuff. So it's a really, really funny video. Props where props is due for them for that. As far as, you know, and then as far as Kamaru's calling, you know, called Jorge a clout chaser, you know, they're calling him soft. There's not only a crosstown rivalry, there's a knowing each other rivalry. There is a, there's just the fact that they're one's the champion and one, I think, is the deserving contender at that, well, at that weight class. And then there is also the fact where you have the management teams hate each other like poison. And that is, you know, Ali, whatever the hell they're called, Dominance MMA, and, you know, the Kawa brothers with First Round Management. Obviously, there's been physical altercations there, verbal altercations like crazy. They don't like each other. So you have two management teams that do great jobs on social media where they're going back and forth. But ultimately, I want to see these guys fight in an octagon. I want to see Jorge Masvidal versus Kamaru Usman. I would say second to Tony versus Khabib, which I might as well just give up on. It's the fight I want to see the most. I'm excited about it. And they've done a great job building it. So now it's just kind of time to go. Like, I saw DC intervene with these guys on social media saying, all right, they both want to fight each other. Can we just make the fight happen? Which I appreciate. I'm like, yeah, what they need is a neutral party, because if we're ever going to get this fight to happen, if it's going to be between these two just chirping, it feels like no one's ever going to make it happen and have it come to fruition. But hopefully we will get it this year. You know, it's kind of hard to know what date everything's going to be on. But I do know this. I know that's going to be a hell of a fight when it happens. I hope everybody stays safe out there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Fighters Fury. We'll talk to you guys same time, same place next week. Stay safe, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.